We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Remind everybody that Texas sucks.
He said it, not me. Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Yeah. Got a little pick of the week for you. AJ's going to hook us up here. AJ, who goes second overall in the NHL draft?
Oh, this year? Oh, Adam Fantilli.
You think Fantilli for sure?
Easily Adam Fantilli.
All right.
I think third is a way more fun conversation.
You can pick third as well. Who goes there?
Leo Carlson.
So you think Michkov falls because of the Russian factor?
I 100,000% think that Michkov falls not just because of the Russian factor, but because of positional need.
Sure.
Because you're going to and this is subject to change based on the lotto order.
Of course.
Because I could feel way differently depending on who. Maybe.
If, like, Columbus sneaks in there. Or
well, because Columbus, the only thing they need is
thank
center.
You. Philly sneaks in there or something. But they need centers, too. Like, I don't know.
Hard not to know what that is.
That doesn't look like Fireball, but that's what we're going to drink.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully it's not pee.
It's, like, warm.
It kind of looks like it, man.
You're not wrong. Anyway, before that,
it smells like Fireball.
Go over to DraftKings Sportsbook. You can bet on the second overall pick, the third overall pick. You can get really good odds right now if you bet
Adam
on it early.
I would bet a lot. Adam Fantilli goes second, no matter what.
There you go. Jump on that with DraftKings. We go over there, use the DNVR code, bet $5 on anything, and you get $200 in free bets just for going over there. It's $200 to mess around with. Literal free money. Jump on it. Use the DNVR code. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See the show notes down below for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right. Should we do these?
Yeah. It smells like Fireball.
It's not warm, so it's a good sign.
The Avs pulled it off, champ.
Dubs, boys.
They got the Dr. Dubs.
Smell like Fireball.
Not the easiest way to get there, but you take it how you can get it.
Y'all better get us to 100 likes again. I keep trying to set the stipulation. You don't follow.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get us to 100 likes after the fact, chat. I believe in you. You can
but
do it for us.
It helps when somebody buys you guys the winner.
Yeah, it's true. Someone in the bar hooked us up. Thank you, Maddie. Appreciated. Avs win this one 3-2 in overtime over Arizona. I guess I'll do the 60-second rundown for us here.
I can if you want.
I'm not going to say no. You take it, dog.
Okay. What happened in this game?
The Avs dominated but didn't score.
So the Avs scored.
They did do that.
They got a 1-0 lead.
It's true.
Everything felt good. Dennis Malgin scored a softie on Connor Ingram, which set up a day of Connor Ingram not really playing all that well. Which will be fun to talk about today. And then Arizona gets a comically fortunate goal to tie the game. And then they get another one. Although that one was a little...
There's some less...
Bounces. Way less puck luck involved and way more of the F shit themselves on that second goal. They go into 2-1 after the first period. Everybody's mad. certainly me. Second period starts. The Avs completely take over the game and end up tying it up. Survive a Coyotes power play at the end of the second period. Third period starts. The Avs give up zero shots on goal. Nobody scores. Overtime starts. Kale McCarr scores on a great backhand, and Connor Ingram has ball arena nightmares once again.
Bam. That's the show. Let's go home.
Great. I got to go. I have somewhere
places
to be.
Places to be. Look, and I think this is one of those games where the team that won certainly deserved it.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
There's no conversation, man. Even if you want to get into the Avs had a slow start. Not really.
They
scored first, and they're out shooting them.
It was 7-2 at one point, I'm pretty sure. And then it was 8-5.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like a totally dominant start, but in no world should they have been down 2-1 at the end of the period. But
and then after that period, the game was just silly domination from Colorado. You had that one Arizona power play was the only 2 minutes of the last 40 and change when you include overtime.
Yep.
That Arizona looked remotely competitive.
Yep.
And Georgiev came up with some timely
he
saves.
Did. Yep. He did. He had was our two big ones.
Alexander Georgiev was our backup king of the game because he actually had some sneaky awesome saves today. Yep. Really important saves.
And that's the difference. The Avs get the saves they need. They play good enough hockey to win, and while they didn't get the goals to make this an easy one for themselves, they get the ultimate result that they were looking for.
They do, and honestly, they get the result that they just flat deserved tonight.
Yeah,
there's no beating around this bush of oh, the Avs got lucky, the Avs this, the Avs that. They needed a couple of saves out of Alexander Georgiev. Got him.
Yep.
Those. And the goals that got scored against, you're talking about one on the back door, just a puck that goes off of Kale McCarr's
takes skate, a terrible bounce on
lands
you.
Right on Jack McBain's stick. The easiest goal of his life. He doesn't do anything. They don't earn that goal in any way, in my opinion. Just a totally lucky break. It just works for him.
Yep. Yeah.
Great. That's hockey. It's how it works sometimes.
Yep.
Second one, a nothing play, and Nathan MacKinnon just never picks up Clayton Keller. He stops. He's looking around. He's trying to find a guy to pick up. Just stands there, does nothing, and Clayton Keller walks in alone and beats it 5-hole.
Is that the one where Byram fell, or was that the first
one? That was the first one.
The first one is the one where Byram fell. The second one is the one where Byram just didn't do anything defensively.
He also was bad. But I genuinely don't know if I've ever seen Nathan MacKinnon that lost on the ice. Like,
just looked awful. Just totally loses. And you see him look.
Yep.
But he doesn't look all the way, so he doesn't pick up Keller, and nobody does. I saw people were upset with Taves, and you could see what Taves is doing.
Took his guy.
Taves is at least adjusting to where he should be going, where that guy is in the corner. He's like, okay. And it's not like he just totally abandoned ship. Nathan MacKinnon picks up nothing.
Yep.
He does nothing. He's there in plenty of time. He picks nobody up.
He floats to the left dot and is alone.
By far the guy that you put that blame on the most is Nathan MacKinnon. And so now you're in need of, all right, Nathan MacKinnon needs to get one back, and he does on a great shot on a power play goal.
We'll get to that one in a second. I do want to wind it back because we're going to continue having this conversation. Dennis Malgin scores again tonight.
Yep.
Sure, it's a softie, but it's a nice play.
Yeah, doesn't do anything special. Just goes right around Yusuf Alamaki and just puts that 5-hole where Connor Ingram can't get to it.
Is Darren Helm the scratch when he's healthy?
No.
No? You put him in over Malgin?
Right now, I'd put him in over Manietto.
Okay. My point I'm getting at here is Malgin's playing his way into the lineup.
The thing is,
like,
now you're now down to 18 games. You expect Malgin, eventually the hot stick goes away.
Of course.
And then the second that happens, then you're like, okay.
You take him out, for sure. But
yeah, exactly.
But for the moment, it's really hard to move away from that guy.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, he's been scoring goals.
It's like 6-12 or something like that for him, I think. 6-13, maybe. Yeah.
It's some of the only production that's coming out of those bottom two lines.
Absolutely.
I don't know how you could sit him down.
As long as it's working, for sure.
Because you'll go 7 games where he won't, and then it'll be like, all right, we're home.
Well, like, sure. If that's the case, like if he cools off, absolutely, you switch him out. But
that's
like,
what I'm saying. I wait until that happens.
Right now, you couldn't be like,
no way.
Yo, he's healthy. Let's sit.
Mulligan.
No way.
No way in hell that's happening.
No way. Yeah. And you can't really sit Alex Newhook either because he got another point tonight.
He just finds a way, man.
He just keeps
sit down LOC.
Like sneaking points. Yeah, yeah. I would strongly consider an LOC.
Honestly,
right
the way his offense has looked, yeah.
Well, and the normal excellent defense, excellent penalty killing, it wasn't there today.
The penalty
it
killing.
It has been there
the
recently.
The penalty killing. Yeah.
It has definitely
sure.
been there yeah. recently. But for right now, I mean, you could easily make an argument that you scratch LOC and you put Darren Helm right there.
Yep.
And you probably send LOC the message, too.
Like, right. If yeah. you're scratching LOC,
you're
it's a one-game thing.
Here,
yeah,
man.
Like, for
you're
sure.
getting a little comfortable. So.
Yeah. Just interesting that it's specifically that guy is one that's finding effect in what this year has been.
Yeah.
With Darren Helm significantly closer than we thought to returning to this lineup.
We thought he was done.
Yeah, right. So,
I mean, anytime you have a re-aggravation of something you've had two surgeries for,
yep.
For him to just turn around and be like, actually, I'm pretty good.
No, it's fine.
You're like,
yeah.
what the f- Okay.
Iron
built
Man.
Different.
That yeah. well, that and Eric Johnson breaking his ankle and being like, all right,
skating.
I'm good.
3 weeks later,
you're like, dude, that's the craziest one.
Yeah, you're like, what is happening
did,
right
did
now?
Did he go see the same doctor Lance Stroll went to? Like,
maybe, man.
Just puts joints back together, hey, like,
man, just smash them together and duff it out, duff guy.
Make it work.
Credit to Lance Stroll for that performance too. That was pretty cool for him.
I don't know if I could drive a regular car down the road with a broken wrist, but
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Let's get into the MacKinnon conversation here. On the whole, I don't really think he played particularly well tonight. But that doesn't matter.
Damn, that was a big
It does not matter if he had a not great game on the whole, because he's Nathan MacKinnon, and on any given shift,
yep.
he can go out there on the power play, walk in, and literally shoot a perfect shot.
Well, and boy, do you like the reverse of this a lot more? Because he makes the defensive mistake early.
Yeah, and gets it back.
Yeah,
yeah,
scores the goal
sure.
later
yeah.
to tie the game, and then has an assist on the game-winning goal. Now, it's not because he did anything other than just say, hey, Kale, go do this. But you like that a lot more than what we saw in the Seattle game, where he has the great individual effort for the first goal. And then the game-changing, crippling defensive zone mistake that led to overtime.
I just know
the
that
reverse of this is way better.
Chat, just know that I say this with love, but the Vegas fan in our chat is more high on the Avalanche in the playoffs than the Avs fans in our chat were for a lot of this game. He's afraid of the Avs in the playoffs.
Should be.
I agree.
Colorado would body Vegas in five.
On record.
Yeah. If they play in the first round, I'm picking Colorado in five.
There you go.
Doesn't even matter if Landy's in that series. And if it does, then I'm picking him in four.
The wow. sweep.
If he's back, I'm picking him in four.
And
Vegas pretenders to me.
Getting back to MacKinnon, though, it's hard to remember how good of a player I think you get to watch sometimes with Nathan MacKinnon. When he has a game like this, when he has a game like the other night, when he blows the Seattle game. But he's just that good. He's genuinely a top five player in the world.
Well, you got to let that boy just do his thing, and sometimes it's going to bite you in the ass. Like I've said before, like you ride or die with MacKinnon, right? Like when he's on, the team's feeling it. He's basically the lead for the team. The team goes as he goes. And tonight, like again, like he gets a long leash because he is Nathan MacKinnon. He had 9 backhand passes to Arizona in the first half of that game and then corrects itself and scores a goal.
And I mean, look, on a night where the Avs aren't getting the bounces, the puck isn't going in for them, where do they get right? Special teams.
Yep.
They get the opportunity that you're guaranteed to get when they call a penalty is the one that they take advantage of.
Yeah. Yeah, and what you like about the power play where they score is that they had different looks.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't just MacKinnon with a one-timer, Mikko with a one-timer.
The goal
was
literally MacKinnon on the opposite side.
Exactly, and you saw as that power play was developing, you saw MacKinnon moving around a lot more. It's been a thing that we've talked about a lot as a path to success for that unit because teams, when the Holy Trinity sets up the way that they normally do, Teams know what they're doing. Teams understand.
They make a Triforce piece.
Exactly. They understand the three legs of that tripod, right? Yeah. Like, they understand how to defend that. But when McKinnon moves around a little bit more and teams get a little scrambly because they're not entirely sure what he's going to do then, they become less predictable, less easy to defend. And then all of that, and it's really just Nathan McKinnon just flat out beats a goalie with a great shot.
Yep. Yeah.
Nothing about the power play. No exploitation of space. Nothing. That's just Nathan McKinnon just outplaying a goalie.
I mean, that's... Well, and, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the other thing, too, though, is, like, it's the way that Phoenix plays... Arizona...
You're old enough.
To- I'm old enough. It's ingrained, sorry. Arizona
just 1.0.
Their penalty kill is very aggressive, goes after the puck carrier quite a bit to where basically the Avs had to move. They can't just play that standard pass.
It's a good point. On their first two power plays, it was kind of giving the Avs fits a little bit.
Yeah.
With that aggression on the puck.
But once they start moving that puck around, it's golden.
And really, teams are free to be really aggressive on the Avs. And because the Avs have a very passive, like, like, we're not out here trying to hurry this up, you know? Like, we're you know, we'll take our time. We'll try and set it up. We'll figure it out. We'll be patient. But when the Avs break that, you know, that kind of full court press, if you will, that teams will do to them, there are very few teams in the world that are going to be comfortable handling the Avs in kind of that chaos transition, slick playmaking mode where their talent just takes over. And it all becomes reactive and not something coached into them.
Yeah.
And it all becomes, hey, we're just playing now. Because that's where the Avs just, they waffle stomp most teams in that regard. When it's just, they get into that kind of, now we're just playing the game.
All right. Well, when you get into slick playmaking mode with the ladies, make sure you're ready to perform when it comes to beating the goalie, if you know what I mean.
I do.
Trying to get a girl pregnant?
Hey, if that's something you're looking for, Roman can help with that.
Yeah, that ramped up really fast from just trying to have some sex here, please, to I am specifically attempting to plant my seed into you for the purposes of repopulating the planet.
Put one past the goalie?
Yeah. Like I'm
that
saying.
That is a term for making a baby.
I'm saying.
It's not a term
saying,
for having
man.
Sex.
Just saying. Rudo Stardi just wants to get it in, man.
One step at a time.
Wait. Just wants to get what in?
Your penis.
Yeah. The thing that needs wrapping.
Oh, got it.
Look, whatever it is, Roman can help you with it when it comes to male performance in the bedroom. They have wipes that can help you last four times longer. If you have other problems, they got meds for things like ED, and they even can help treat low testosterone if that's an option. You can go to ro.co/GNVR today. You can get a free consultation. They'll get you all set up with what you need, what you might help. Really, they're just here to help you with your sexual health needs. That's all they're trying to do. They're trying to make life easier. They're extremely discreet. They'll send you a package of what you need to your front door in discreet packaging. They'll take care of you, basically. So you can look good in the bedroom, unlike me with and whatever I have going on up here.
On your credit card slip, it just says ro.co.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, nothing that gives it away.
Nothing crazy. So go over there with
Privacy
Roman.
Privacy is important.
Make sure you're Roman ready. ro.co/DNVR today. Also brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You know, you have a few of those before you're Roman ready. Just kind of how things work sometimes. You can get 8 different kinds on tap here at the bar, or go to breckbrew.com to find them at a local liquor store near you with the Breck Beer Locator. They're pretty much everywhere now, and everyone is drinking the good stuff when it comes to Breck Brew. They have a flavor for everyone. Go check them out. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. I don't want to undersell how well the Avs played the second two-thirds of this game.
Yeah.
Because I get it. It's not on the scoreboard. I get it. At the end of the game, that's the only number that matters.
Well, and you really, really want to start racking up regulation wins in case you need tiebreaker help.
Those are things you would like, but I just don't... I see this game, and I say, if the Avs play like that, they're going to score 5 goals regularly if they dominate a team like this.
Yep.
I cannot be upset. Even if I think there were stretches of this game where McKinnon and Miko both really didn't play that well.
Yeah.
The team as a whole absolutely did what they needed to do.
It's funny because we're like, oh, they didn't play that well, but I'm going to go look at Nat Statrick.
They're just dominating.
And it's going to be like, I'm expecting it to be like 30-8.
Yeah, something ridiculous. Just an outrageous number.
We'll just do it.
Anyway.
Check it out real quick.
I want to give credit to a number of different players in this game. We want to start with Georgiev. You already kind of mentioned was our second option for king of the game.
Oh, my God. 33-10.
Basically spot on.
That was close, man. Miko's 32-8.
And
Sam Girard today was 31-5.
Wow.
That's ridiculously good.
Yeah.
With those numbers, part of the reason you're giving Georgiev credit for this game, the dude literally went like 20 minutes between saves at one point in this game. So I guess it's always a question, especially with goalies that haven't been with the team for a while. Varley, a great example of a goalie who would get better the more shots he faced.
For the record, this is true of most goalies.
I understand that. I'm not saying facing less shots is better for them, but I think there is a distinction in goalies that do a better job of keeping their head in the game when they're facing less
action.
It's
definitely a different level of challenge.
Different style, even, I would say.
Like, I think the most comfortable goalie we've seen in Colorado with that really low style, that thrived a lot in the low shot style was Grubauer.
Yeah, I agree.
He's really comfortable in that.
Yeah.
You know? We're seeing Georgiev has battled his way into those games and has really been fine. I would have been curious to see what it would have been like, what it might have looked like had he actually been tested at any time in the final 32 minutes of the game.
I mean, the one play where he did end up covering a puck at least. But.
Yeah, and like there was scramble around the net. He does a good job. He was locked in that moment, the one moment in the third period he needed to be.
Yep.
I mean, the other part of that, though, too, is when the Avs are trailing 1-2, right? He made some spectacular saves and didn't allow that third goal to go in, because I think that changes the complexion of this game.
Absolutely does.
You have a very concerned Avalanche forwards that need to score two goals now to get back in the game. Well,
the big one is really they're 2-2, and then you have the Nick Schmaltz breakaway.
Oh, right.
The glove save on that, that it's 2-2, and they're finally like they've clawed their way back into this. They've taken over the game. They're now they're running downhill. You love everything that's happening. That glove save on Schmaltz, because that's exactly how Arizona wins games.
Yep.
They get their shit kicked out of them for 2.5 hours, and they win 3-2 because their goalie just plays well enough. He stops the first shot, and then the defense
and they
does
get a little bit of nonsense.
Just enough, and then offensively, they capitalize on the three chances they get all night.
Yep.
It's like Arizona Coyotes hockey. Let's get lucky tonight. That should be the Roman.
Let's get lucky tonight. There you go, Petey. If you're watching, that's your next one.
He's got his own postmortem to do right now.
Yeah, that's true. They're probably live right now too. But I bring this up because on a night like this, where you are the dominant team but you're not getting the bounces, it takes a village to overcome.
Yeah, you just have to keep going. Just have to keep going.
Yep.
And I really want to stress, I don't feel like Connor Ingram played well in this game. I tweeted out, like, Connor Ingram's got ball arena nightmares. And people are like, he thrives here. He's so good. And I'm like, look, the Connor Ingram that had all the saves in game two with Nashville was way better than the Connor Ingram tonight.
He lost that game too, by the way.
Yeah, on a Cale Makar overtime winner. He's now lost to Makar on the forehand and the backhand, so I guess now it needs to be like a one-timer next.
Or a five-hole shot.
One time.
Like or a tip.
Tip. No, deflection.
Yeah, we need a deflection.
A Cale Makar deflection. That's a crazy world. You're living
that's
in
just
that
him PC. Cutting in front of the net and the puck hits him. Yeah. Like, Connor Ingram's really never coming back. But anyway, Connor Ingram does a great job in this game of stopping the first shot. Squared up to the first shooter.
Yep.
But everything after that was an absolute free-for-all that Arizona got wildly lucky on.
Yep.
You look at how Arizona scores their first goal. It's a save. It's a puck that goes off Cale Makar's skate and lands right on Jack McVane's stick.
Yeah.
The Avalanche never once got the equivalent of that in 80 shot attempts in this hockey game. They never once got that bounce. The closest thing that they got to it was a bouncing puck that Valanciunas got just the tiniest piece of to propel it forward. And it hits Connor Ingram. Yeah, it's not even like a reaction save or anything. It just hits where he already was.
I would say the Brad Hunt chance was close, too. He just barely loses that race.
Yeah, well, and that's the defenseman bails him out.
You're right.
Yeah. And that's where you're looking, and you're like, for me, Connor Ingram just did not play a very high-quality game here. They got all that bounce. They got all the puck luck in the world they needed. The Avs probably got the officiating luck today.
I would say so. Yeah. Especially
the goaltender interference with a minute left to play on Mikko.
You could have called that on Mikko.
But right after that, they trip.
They do trip. Well, they trip JT in twice.
Yes. It was JT.
Trip Compher twice in the offensive zone and get away with it, where you can say that that's even. But had they called the initial penalty, they're not in that position. Anyway, I think that's where I fall on this one. Arizona got the puck luck. The Avalanche got the officiating luck. It ended up evening out to a 2-2 game, and then the Avs just made a better play in overtime.
Yep.
Because the Avs lose that faceoff.
Yeah. I want to go over the whole play.
They lose that faceoff, get control of the puck. Valanciunas can get control of the puck in the offensive zone. Just take it away from them.
Yep.
And then don't score. They lose control of the puck again. And then Kale just goes down and pressures the guy into giving it up. And you end up in center ice with the puck again.
Yeah. And it's just dominance.
Yeah.
Yep.
You don't let them get set up. You don't let them do anything with speed. You don't let them do anything in overtime.
And keep in mind, it's 3-on-3. There's ice for days, and the Avs are trapping these guys in corners.
And when you talk about Arizona, you look at Nick Schmaltz and Clayton Keller and Matias Michelli.
Those are shifty dudes.
And Lawson Krause, who's really quick for his size. You're talking about guys who are going to eat up open space. They don't really have a great defender anymore with Chikrin and Gostisbehere gone. They don't really have a guy tailor-made for that situation now.
Yeah.
And I think it showed because the Avs pressured pucks, got turnovers, and never allowed Arizona to cross into their own zone with any possession of the puck.
Pretty much didn't.
No.
It's interesting because for the better part of a decade now, you feel like that's what the Avs overtime is supposed to look like.
For sure.
So I don't know if something clicked for them and they figured it out. I know we've talked before. One of the big things that jumped their overtime game was separating MacKinnon and Mikko, funnily enough. But they've just found, not that they've even been great in overtime, but it just feels more steady than it ever has for them. I would put it that way. You gotta take your dubs where you can on things like that.
Well, and overtime has bailed the Avs out this year. That is where they've eaten greedy and made up a lot of points.
I mean,
because they've been very good in that format this year.
It's bailed the Stars out a lot this year, too.
Well, they've been bad in the format, but just getting there they has get been.
Them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Different things.
If they were good in the format, if they were as good as the Avs
they'd
were,
be running away.
They would have the division somehow.
Oh, for sure.
So, it's interesting. The Avs get the 2 points. As far as the Avs are concerned, they don't care about the point that the Arizona Coyotes got here. They do care about the regulation win.
I tell you what, I care about that point because if it gets Arizona down to fifth in the lotto, so that's a huge win
actually,
for the
best case scenario.
It's a huge win for the Avs. They should be going into overtime against these guys every time.
So you got to beat Canadians clean.
Allow them to maximize their points without taking the second one. I hope the next couple of games are in overtime too. Don't let the Coyotes get Connor Bedard. Hell to the nah. You want this rebuild to take 10 more years.
Yeah. The eternal rebuild. May it never end. Looking around the league a little bit here for the rest of the day, you currently have Vegas winning 2-0 in Carolina. The Jets are beating the Panthers by 1 in the third.
That was 2 at the start.
Yeah, it's 4-3 now.
It's what?
It's 4-3 now.
But Connor Hellebuck's level has dropped. Just enough, yep, man, and that's what they can't have. The Jets can't survive Connor Hellebuck not being elite.
And then Stars taking on the Kraken later tonight. But
let's go, Kraken.
Not the point I necessarily wanted to make. I still, it's the last time I'm going to address it, and then I'm going to move on. I still see people talking about the Avs potentially not making the playoffs this year.
Look, it's not locked up till it's not locked up, but it's like 92% chance.
Go watch a Calgary game and tell me they're going to catch the Avs. You can't do
it. A team with a multiple game in hand disparity.
And is now 7 points behind Colorado.
And is 7 points back. They would need to be 8 points better across about 15 games.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you think that's happening? So we say no, but you also look at the way that the Avs had this week. This homestand did not go the way that you want it to. Which is funny because they went 2-1-1 on it.
Really not that bad in the end.
It really wasn't. That they missed 3 of 8 points in the standings on this homestand. So it's not bad, but you definitely wanted the second point against Seattle. And you definitely didn't want to have to go into overtime today.
Yeah. For sure.
Those are the two things.
It's truth.
Those are the two things. But you look at how the Avs played in this hockey game. And again, it's just like the LA game. I don't think it's a bad game.
Yeah.
I don't think they played poorly.
Mechanically.
You could be frustrated with how this sausage ended up getting made. My biggest thing with the Kings game was the heart. The intensity wasn't there. And the intensity was absolutely there in this game.
For sure.
Because they started out great and got better as the game went on. They absolutely had it. They just had one of those hockey games, but they win it.
Yep.
The problem with those games is oftentimes you lose them.
Yep.
They got that point today. And you survive. You survive one of those games. It's not to say all is well. You shouldn't be concerned that their only clean win of the week, the only easy one that they had, was the easiest scheduled win that they've had in 3 months.
Has it really been that long? I guess it has.
It was December 1st is the last time they had a rested team.
Jeez. That's brutal.
Yeah. And they go into their fifth one next week where it's the opposite.
Yeah.
They go into their fifth rested team on a Sega Baba.
Crazy.
So when we talk about easiest schedule going forward, the last really hard part of the schedule is next week.
Yeah.
It's the upcoming
that Toronto Ottawa back to back, really.
Yeah.
Which really makes it that much important that they go out and do this again against Montreal.
Exactly. It's really the Toronto Ottawa Detroit 3-4 Eastern trip. At the end of those trips, teams are always really iffy.
Yep.
And Detroit is playing great hockey right now, where they're probably not going to get dominated like they did in Ball Arena.
They played a good game today against Boston.
They've been putting together. I mean, they've snuck themselves into the playoff race legitimately.
On the outside of it.
Ottawa, too.
Yeah. Well, Detroit making the playoffs should be illegal. So make sure you're going and getting yourself some illegal Pete's. Delicious burritos. Blaze snap decisioned it at the first intermission today.
I did. It was either wings here because those are bomb, or illegal Pete's, and I took the walk down two blocks and got some.
Just you can do it in an Avs intermission from here to illegal Pete's and get your burrito. They have delicious fresh ingredients, something for everyone. Even if it's gluten free or you have allergies or anything like that, they have options for their menu.
Hell yeah!
Kane just got.
Yeah,
pummeled.
Evander Kane tried to put the douchebag suit on, and Michael Bunting ripped it off.
Now he's trying to punch people while they're on the ice.
He's punching the ref at that point. go over to Illegal Pete's. They also have happy hour from 3 to 6 p.m. With some delicious margaritas. I know most of the DNVR crew was down there the other day enjoying themselves. Tiff was there. She had a good time.
Man, you can keep writing novels in chat, or you could listen to us address the conversation that you're having.
Definitely
they're not
like
missing the playoffs, brother.
What was that?
Spicy margs are definitely my go-to.
Oh, the marg. Yeah, you were. Yeah. Oh, that's
spicy.
Right. You had to put a jacket on here because you lost your marg coat. I remember. You got all cold.
I lost my buzz.
The margaritas keep you warm at Illegal Pete's.
Dude, they do. Last night, I had margs during happy hour yesterday sitting outside as the sun was going down. It was getting colder around me, but I wasn't because margs just kept me there.
There you go. That's the way to get it over to Legal Pete's. And then, when you inevitably have a hangover in the morning, Athletic Greens will be your savior. Just one scoop in your cup of water every morning. Not only is it a great hangover cure, it's just great for you. You put it in there, you get 75 different vitamins and minerals every single day, electrolytes, adaptogens. Tons of athletes use it as their daily routine. A lot of them use it as part of their workout regimen. It's just good for you. Great stuff. Gets you healthy, boosts your immune system. Will make sure you're the best self that you can be. You can get it today at athleticgreens.com/avalanche. Go over there, get your order. When you do, they'll give you a year's supply of vitamin D gummies for free, just for ordering. Jump on it. Go get the good stuff with Athletic Greens. Take control of your health today at athleticgreens.com/avalanche. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Our king of the game for this one. I mean, come on, dude. Kale's nasty, right? He's just nasty. And what else
just
do you say?
Other gear.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it building in the game.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, there were different moments in this game. Like, he should have absolutely had a goal in the first period. Just got blocked.
Yep. Had a couple of other shifty moments with shots like that. Near the end of the third, had that one where he ramped up the coast-to-coast, and the puck just kind of rolled off his stick at the blue line.
Like 10 seconds left or whatever. Yep. Like, come on. Yeah. You could just see it kind of building, and then and nothing special. McKinnon hands it off to him at center ice. McKinnon drifts over to left. The defense has to obviously respect. And so they did that, and then Cale Makar just used his footwork and out skates. I don't even know who the Coyotes defenseman was.
Yeah, I'd
but
have to go back.
Had him beat wide, and the guy sold out to try and stop him going wide, and Makar saw he was running out of room.
And was just like,
and just cuts it back inside, and the Coyotes defender was whoop, just gone. And then it's a backhand that just beats Ingram, because again, Ingram
didn't play that well.
Was not playing particularly well and was slow to move over.
And Makar just puts the slowest hesitation on it. Creates that little extra space on the outside.
Yeah, and it's not like he gets it over a pad. He got it around the pad.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how slow Ingram was on that move there.
McKinnon and Rantanen are just like so jealous. He scored a backhand goal.
McKinnon did have eyes for that backhand today.
Yeah, well, and Mikko scored some sick backhands in his life, so he's like, respect. McKinnon's just like, I don't even know what world that is.
I got a laser forehand. Red shot. Yeah.
That backside needs a little bit of work, maybe. But
JJ Mosier, cool. Was the defenseman.
There you go. The more
you
know.
Doesn't really matter. That guy was not equipped for that situation.
Was not ready for the Kale bomb.
That was an oh boy moment.
Yeah. So he's absolutely king of the game. He was awesome again today. You know, his two best games have been against San Jose and Arizona, which you're like,
you like to see it against the real team.
Obviously, you're not complaining, but.
It's better than losing those games.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely true.
I like that I said Detroit's been competitive. 1-6-1 in their last eight.
Oof, rough.
Nice.
Once upon a time, they were a competitive hockey team. I think there's a lot of things frustrating about these games.
Yeah, for sure.
I just don't know that it's worth nitpicking right now.
I agree. Where I think is the most... The thing that... I care the most about now that they got the 2 points, because that was obviously key.
Yeah.
Get the two. You don't care about the point that you give to Arizona. In fact, you're probably
for the better.
Like, depending on how Lotto things go, maybe you're like, yeah, it's all good. But you give up zero shots on goal in the third period.
Yeah.
Literally cannot play better.
Like, you're not talking about, oh, they scrapped and they clawed and they... Oh, it was so tight, and oh man, they didn't separate from Arizona. They bodied the Coyotes today. And were it not for Connor Ingram getting the best of all the luck, I mean, we talked about it on the watch along.
You watch multiple pucks.
There's a
Valanchushkin
shot on goal early in the game that Connor Ingram was so out of position to stop. That's why he stopped it. Because if he had been
sliding
had
across
he been
properly,
sliding across like you're taught, it probably goes 5-hole and he gets beat.
Yeah.
But because he was so slow to react to it, his pad was still on the ice as he was trying to get across. And it ended up hitting his pad. Like that was the kind of game that Connor Ingram had today. And that was the kind of game that the Avs had, shooting in his general direction.
Yep.
Where things just, they didn't have the special shot more than the McKinnon goal.
Yep.
And then the Makar goal was just a little different. But
not really the shot that
also
did
still think
that.
Ingram played poorly.
Yep.
And they just kept at it. Like,
yep.
The one thing that we've seen from the Avs that has left me most concerned this year is that their level will drop when it doesn't go their way.
And it did not in this game.
And it didn't go their way, and they just kept going and kept at it and kept hammering away at it. And it's not like a big feather in their cap to say, go team, you're dominating this game, and you kept doing it. That's like great, but
that's also what you should do. Yeah.
That's the expectation, but that expectation hasn't been met often enough in these kinds of games this year for the Avs.
Yep.
For me to say that it's not a big deal that they did do it today, to just wave it off.
Yeah.
As well, that's what they should be doing. Okay, we've seen that they've not lived up to that though in games against bad teams at times this year. And that's where a lot of the frustration has come in, is the points that they've left in those games.
Yep. They didn't leave any on the table ultimately tonight. And that's honestly, that's where I'm good with leaving it, unless you guys want to add any final thoughts. No? Maybe?
That was a sick play from Toronto right there. Yeah.
Well, and you see how poorly Skinner plays that. Yeah. He's already halfway out of the net. It's like, you can't do that with a shooter as good as Austin Matthews. Yeah.
Yep. He'll make you pay.
You bum. I assume our two downvotes are from PHNX listeners.
Maybe the Vegas guy that you were just gonna.
No, I was giving him props.
AJ wasn't. I didn't.
He did say Avs in four if Landy's healthy. It's fair.
Yeah, I said they were pretenders.
Pretenders. Called them pretenders.
Yeah.
Also, you guys, you're slacking. 100 likes is what it's supposed to be for winner shots, all right?
Yeah.
Get it together, chat. We're going to wrap this one up, though. We appreciate all of y'all hanging out. Of course, we got lots more coming your way. There will be post-game coverage between, I don't know if Jesse or Megan's writing the post-game thing. AJ's got his studs and duds.
Yeah, I would imagine it's Megan.
I will have my review video up tonight. So
the usual.
The usual stuff. Keep it locked and loaded with DNVR. We appreciate all of y'all, and we're off tomorrow. We're back Monday for the game.
Yep.
So that's when we'll see you.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.